Thank you. So this is the second in a series of presentations to the board providing information on downtown traffic circulation. The first was on November 1st, 2011, which, if you recall, was in the Owassa building. And at that time, the board reviewed traffic-related goals, objectives, and policies of adopted planning documents and reports, such as the familiar documents that we see here. And then there was a presentation of some preliminary Weaver Street Reconstruction Project traffic analysis data. So this delves a little bit deeper into the quantitative data on traffic in downtown, although it's by no means comprehensive. There's a whole lot of data to go through and a whole lot of information to go through that's important to our town, and this is just some of it right here. But as you can see right here, this graph presents average daily traffic volumes as measured by NCDOT. NCDOT's traffic survey unit measures average daily traffic at a number of locations throughout cities and towns of the state every 2 years. And for whatever reason, they publish the data every odd year. So what you can see here is average daily traffic every odd year from 1997 to 2009. And the most important part of this graph to take a look at is that average daily traffic in downtown Carrboro has been dropping from 1997 to 2009. This right here is just a sum of all of these downtown count locations. And this is not associated with this axis right here. What's important about this line here is just to show that the decrease in traffic. That's been primarily driven by a decrease in traffic on East Main Street in front of the in the vicinity and in front of the Art Center, which has dropped from about 2,400 vehicles in 1997 down to about 24,000 vehicles down to about 18,000 in 2009. Besides the 54 bypass, this segment is on 200 to 400 East Main in front of the Art Center, has the highest traffic volumes in the town. And you can see here other downtown count locations have either stayed flat or dropped, or maybe in one or two cases risen slightly from in this time period.
Chef, what happened in 03?
That's a great question, and that predicts about several more of my slides in the presentation.
Okay.
But I'll give you a sneak preview now, which is in January of 2002, what happened? Chapel Hill Transit became fare free.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that that is a significant factor in what has checked the increase and perhaps even led to the slight decrease in traffic volumes. We also are looking at some data in terms of intersection traffic volumes, and these are at AM and PM peak hours. You can see right here the blue bar is 2003-2004 data collected as part of the downtown circulation study, and then the red is 2011 data for this intersection. This is a summary of two recent traffic impact analyses that were done for proposed developments, and you can see here that overall intersection volumes, the amount of cars passing through the intersection during the peak hour in the AM and PM, has dropped by several percentage points. So this is for the Greensboro and Weaver intersection. For the Main and Greensboro intersection, generally we are seeing a very slight decrease from 2003 to 2011. And these are just three different data points in the AM peak hour and a noted decrease in the PM peak hour at the Main and Greensboro intersection. And then the Main Weaver Roberson intersection by the Flatiron building, we're also seeing a decrease in traffic volumes overall. So these are just three data points. These aren't, it's not a smooth curve over time, but it does indicate that traffic has decreased slightly in downtown. This is while Carrboro in general from 2000 to 2010 had experienced a 17% increase in overall population. Of course, as is fairly obvious, most of that population growth during that time period took place in the northern area, or a little bit in the southern area of town. So the question is, where have those cars gone? Because Carrboro has increased in population, Chapel Hill has increased in population, and yet downtown traffic volumes seem to be slightly decreased. And if you look at the 54 bypass, those traffic volumes have pretty much stayed the same, maybe decreased slightly in 2009. So it's not that there's more cars on 54 bypass now. But what you do see is transit service is probably one of the key factors in explaining traffic volumes in downtown. This is all annual unlinked trips. So any time you get on the bus and then get off, not including a transfer trip as multiple trips. And you can see for the whole system, Chapel Hill Transit back in 1996 had about 2.6 million annual unlinked trips. And that pretty much stayed right around 3 million until 2002, when the fare-free policy went into place. And then there was a somewhat of a meteoric rise in trips to its current level of a little bit over 7 million. So I think that transit in this case has really helped to stem the traffic volumes. Also, bicycle and pedestrian improvements. The town has been active in that decade in making both bicycle and pedestrian improvements. Sidewalks, bike lanes, and multi-use path mileage have all increased. And of course, the town now regularly holds a number of encouragement events to get people out of their cars, such as bike month activities. There was the Walk Carrboro, started by a number of businesses, safe routes to school, bike rodeos, and so forth. So the mobility report card, if you recall, the town had two mobility report cards completed. One was in 2003 and one was in 2005. The limitation is that these are only two snapshots of data and they're getting old. But at the same time, I think it's useful to see that pedestrian activity between 2003 and 2005 was shown to slightly decrease in the downtown area. But then again, these are snapshots. I think that there is reason to believe that since then, pedestrian activity has increased.
Jeff,
sorry about that. So the way the mobility report card did a lot of this was, if it's green, that means it increased from 2003 to 2005. And if it's red, it means it decreased. And if it's yellow, it means it stayed about the same. And then the size of the circle shows the size, the overall relative volume of pedestrians and cyclists compared to other locations. So in this case, it shows that although there was a decrease in pedestrian activity right around Main and Greensboro intersection, there's still a very high level of pedestrian activity. And then bicycle use between 2003 and 2005 grew for most downtown intersections. And I think it's fair to say that we've continued to see some level of increase in bicycle use downtown. So we have this story that the numbers show of slightly lower traffic volumes, but we've all experienced congestion in downtown Carrboro, so we know that it's there. This is a photo of North Greensboro Street at PM peak hour. It's a little bit dim, but if you can see right here, this is Parker Street right here, looking southbound. Harris Teeter and Southern States are on the left right here. You can see that traffic is queued back to Parker Street in the southbound direction. So we do have some congestion in downtown Carrboro, and there is reason, before I get to the next slide, this just kind of summarizes what I just talked about. So there's reason to believe that in the future, we need to be aware of potential increases in traffic volumes. These are some trip generation numbers for approved proposed or potential developments in town. And we can see here we have, of course, the potential developments along Greensboro Street, as well as approved developments, East Main Residential, Roberson Square, Green Ridge, of course, in Chapel Hill, 300 East Main, which is expected to start soon, and the Alberta development. And we can see that all of these developments, except one, had a traffic impact analysis done. And for the Alberta, other traffic impact analysis estimated what its trip generation would be. So these are very rough numbers, as all TIA numbers are, but it does show that, you know, in the ballpark of over 10,000, maybe up to 15 or 16,000 new trips could potentially be added from these developments. And that includes about 1,000 in the AM peak hour and a little over 1,500 in the PM peak. So I think there's reason to be wary as the town moves forward about potential traffic increases. There's additional developments, of course, going on in downtown Chapel Hill. 140 West Franklin, near Franklin and Church, is being built. The Shortbread Lofts, another project on Rosemary Street, less than a half mile from Carborough, was recently approved. And then there's a proposed development, the redevelopment of University Square, which is a significant amount of residential units and retail. So these are all developments that are in walkable, bike-friendly, transit-accessible locations. But, of course, even with those developments, you do still see a fair amount of auto traffic, especially, I think, because Chapel Hill and Carborough is one of the most transit-friendly places from Monday through Friday. But once you get on the weekend, if you're a transit rider, it's tough. So I think that generates a little bit of a need to still want to have access to a car or want to own a car if you're living there, because the night and weekend service is not as strong. And then in addition, we have Carolina North. It's slowed down a little bit. The board previously received a report on this in the summer of 2010. So I'm not going to go through all of it, but it does show that in the 2030 horizon, in part due to background traffic growth and in part due to Carolina North's trip generation, that downtown Carborough intersections, including Estes and Greensboro, Greensboro and Weaver, and Greensboro and Main, and Greensboro and Merritt Mill, which is close to downtown but not in downtown, of those four, three experience level of service F, so three experience severe congestion.
The mitigation line on that slide, is that considering just messing with the signal timing? Is that all that's involved there, not any other?
Those were the mitigation recommendations in the traffic impact analyses, in this traffic impact analysis. And that was, of course, a consultant being contracted by the university. And so that wasn't the town of Carborough having that TIA done. So
with with light timing, we might be able to make the 2030 morning peak bad for everyone. Is that?
Well, with it does show some improvement from signal timing, from the mitigation scenario, from E to D, and then it does go from F to D for Greensboro and Main, but you still have level of service F for Greensboro and Weaver in this scenario. At this point, it's good to bring up a caveat I brought up on November 1st about the limitations of level of service, measuring level of service, or in other words, how well automobile circulation works. It's a useful measure. There's some planners who would say, let's throw out this measure entirely. I think you just need to know its limitations and put it in proper context. Some peak hour congestion is inevitable in thriving downtowns. You don't want to have free flow conditions in downtowns because that creates high vehicle speeds and is counter to pedestrian and bicycle safety. I think that the example I always bring up is Dawson Street in downtown Raleigh. If you visit there on the evening rush hour. There's all these people trying to get out of town as fast as they can. Dawson is a three-lane, one-way road, and cars really go fast there, and it's really, I think, daunting for pedestrians in that situation. So in addition, you know, we talk about level of service, but safety for all modes of transportation is an important consideration. And nevertheless, level of service is important because we don't want severe congestion in downtown, which can dissuade people from visiting or thinking that Carrboro is not a convenient or attractive place to visit.
Jeff, is there an alternative way of measuring traffic beyond LLS that like planners are using or other cities or towns?
This is the main one. You also measure vehicle delay, but that's LOS is a proxy for vehicle delay. But there are pedestrian and bicycle level of service measures out there that have been developed. Some of them have been developed just in down the road in Chapel Hill at the Highway Safety Research Center. So there's a lot of different measures that you can use besides just vehicle delay for measuring the health of the overall traffic situation in downtown.
I guess those measures are only as useful as they signify something to our sources for funding, such as the state or other places. So this is the standard that most of those entities use.
Yeah.
Not the pedestrian or bike standards.
It really depends on the funding source. Everyone is different. Mm-hmm. So.
Jeff, on the potential development trip generation slide you had, did that assume the same level of the fare free service? That's without any increase.
Yeah, what it does is most of these traffic impact analyses did reduce the trips, assuming that some trips would use transit. They didn't go into so much detail as to modeling different service scenarios in Chapel Hill Transit, but most did assume that some of those trips would take transit. What was alluded to a little bit earlier, one of the mitigation measures in the Carolina North traffic impact analysis is, well, we need to adjust, if you adjust signal timing to optimize the conditions for automobile travel, that can help improve level of service. But what may be counter to that is level of service for pedestrians. In a downtown environment, there's a lot of pedestrians. You want to make it safe and convenient for them, and longer signal lengths tend to be less convenient for pedestrians. The guidance out there recommends shorter signal length for pedestrians, and the downtown traffic circulation study recommended looking at reducing signal length for pedestrians to get closer to 60 seconds rather than 120 seconds. So, you know, this is just to point out that if we try and improve level of service by adjusting signal timings, we need to be wary of what that impact is on pedestrians. So this is the second half of the presentation. This deals with Weaver Street Reconstruction Traffic Impact Analysis, which was requested by the board on October 12th, 2010, right as the Weaver Street project was about to start. Part of what we did was we went out and we collected PM peak two-hour data at the Main and Greensboro intersection. We limited ourselves to one intersection because we have limited staffing resources. These were totally done in-house, collected by the counts were collected by myself and some of George's employees in Public Works Department. We sat out there with clipboards and tally sheets and beverages we bought from Cliff's Meat Market beforehand, and we just tallied the turning movements, and we also collected pedestrian and bicycle turn counts. So we did this at four times, once in February 2011 before the project started, once in April of 2011 when East Weaver Street was closed to traffic but West Weaver Street was open, once in October of 2011 when East Weaver Street was reopened and West Weaver Street was closed to traffic, and then finally the after scenario, which was February of this year. So we collected counts pretty much 1 year to the day after our initial counts, so we have a good year-over-year picture of traffic changes. So this chart shows that this chart shows the overall volume, the overall number of cars and buses, but mostly cars that pass through the intersection between 4 and 6 p.m. at the various count periods. We can see here that traffic increased by, I think, 17% between February and April at the main Greensboro intersection, which, of course, is expected because this is along the main detour route for cars when they can't use East Weaver Street. When East Weaver Street was reopened, you saw a slight reduction in traffic at the intersection, but it was still higher than the baseline year of February 2011. And then when the entire street reopened to automobile traffic in February of 2012, you saw that traffic returned about to the level it was previously, but it was a little bit less. So we have a little bit lower traffic volume than a year ago. And these are pedestrian volumes. You don't expect them to change too much based on the Weaver Street reconstruction. Mostly pedestrian access was open. But you can see here that pedestrian traffic did increase slightly. It decreased slightly in October, and then increased again in February 2012. This might be a little bit more seasonally related than vehicle volumes. And then this is bicycle traffic. You can see that the highest bicycle traffic count was in April of 2011. I think this just really shows that we do have a big seasonal bicycle usage factor. A lot of people like to take their bikes out in about starting about this time of year. It's really great weather, as we saw today. Overall, we saw a slight year-over-year increase from 86 to 95 in our counts. So these are the charts that kind of like bend your mind, because like when I was looking at these, putting together this presentation, like the axis didn't look straight. It looked like skewed, yeah, because it's like one of those optical illusions. But I guarantee you it's straight. So this is the approaches to the intersection. This is southbound Greensboro. So if you're driving and the Century Center is on your left and Cliffs on your right, it saw a substantial increase in left turning traffic between February 2011 and April 2011, which is what you might expect. People can't use East Weaver Street, so they were detouring to Main Street. And you saw decreases in right turning and through movements. And then in April, on westbound Main Street, so you're heading west out of town, Century Center's on your right, Tyler's is on your left. You saw decreases in left-turning traffic and increases in through and right-turning movements, which is what you might expect, because more people are using Main Street to go west instead of Weaver Street. And then northbound Greensboro, so Tyler's is on your right and the Wendy's is on your left. You can see increases in left-turning traffic and general increases in through movements going straight north. And some decreases during certain intervals in right-turning traffic. And then going eastbound on Main Street, so Wendy's is on your right and Cliffs is on your left, there's more of equivocal data. There's not too much of a pattern to show here. But realize that, you know, overall volumes at the intersection are increased between February and April. So you get more congestion at the intersection. We observed some pretty significant congestion at the intersection during this period. So this just presents some of the data that we've been collecting. We hope to be able to present more data at a future meeting. And then we also hope to present follow-up information on some of the other topics that have been discussed. including the another intersection that we haven't talked about, which is the intersections of Main, Franklin, Merritt Mill, and Brewer Lane. We have contacted Chapel Hill staff. We haven't yet received a response, but we're going to try and contact them again about setting up a staff-level discussion about how to think about that intersection and traffic at that intersection. More information on downtown parking. There was a discussion at the November 1st meeting about the results of the Carborough parking study that was done by the students in 2008, specifically with regard to parking in municipal parking lots and the extent to which that encourages traffic. And then defining an optimal level of service for downtown. We talked about that a little bit. You know, level of service A is free flow conditions, in a downtown area, level of service A isn't always desirable because it affects these other variables like pedestrian and bicycle safety. So the board asked that we look into defining an optimal level of service for downtown, and more work still needs to be done on that. And then we have Synchro software, which is used to measure level of service, and we need to do more analysis on what we think future traffic volumes will be like in downtown Carborough, and if there are any intersections that are really going to be gridlocked in the future. And then additional traffic data as well. So with that, I will leave it for questions and comments.
Right. Thanks, Jeff. Go ahead, Sam.
Jeff, thank you all for sitting there and counting all those cars.
I saw him.
That must have been pretty tedious. But one question, I guess, and one reason for having taken advantage by the fact that Weaver Street was closed was to see how that would affect Main Street. And I was wondering if there was a sense of what the LOS may have been, the effect on Main Street, in other words, of car traffic from having had closed Weaver Street. And the reason I'm asking is because I've talked to many people in town, especially a lot of mothers with children who are at Weaver Street Market, and they have children who many times they have to be on a constant guard because their children will very easily many times run towards the road. And it's a very common thing to hear people wishing that road were closed. And so I know that these counts were done on a Wednesday evening, so that it's related to the question of whether it could be closed permanently or done more as a Sunday thing where there wouldn't be nearly as much traffic on those roads anyway. But I guess the question for you that I was curious to know was, in my own experience, I noticed like Main Street was a lot more congested, but relative to the measures, the LOS measures, would that congestion have been an F or a D or an E? Do we have a sense of what that was?
I think we still need to finish that analysis, but I'd be happy to present that at a follow-up agenda item. Having the street pedestrian and bicycle only on the weekend, and like such as on a Sunday, I guess off the top of my head, I would say that wouldn't be an issue at all traffic-wise, but of course there are other factors to consider in that. But we still need to and we intend to finish analyzing the data on what level service is.
Great. Thanks.
All right, other questions for the staff? If not, thanks very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right.
And do we have a resolution on this? We do.
We do.
That's right.
Move attachment A.
Second.
Then moved and seconded for attachment A. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. That brings us to item A2, presentation on the OWASA draft drought response operating protocol. There's plenty of nouns in that.